Good morning. Christian greetings to each of you. It's good to be here this morning. And like Dana said, some of you I would know, have known for years, and some maybe don't recognize, and you wonder who this guy is up here this morning. And our history goes back a long ways. Brother Tom was involved in my minister ordination and bishop ordination, if I remember correctly, and just have had it. Good ties with you folks through the years. So appreciate you and thank you for the opportunity to come and visit with you this morning. Sometimes we preach messages based maybe there's something we want to teach on, or there's something to be a particular subject, a doctrine in the Bible or Scripture, and we kind of go to that and we share about it. It's something that's important and something we want to pass on, or maybe we feel the Lord leading us to share about that. Some messages maybe come out more out of experience or something you're going through or something that you shared because of some of your own feelings or some of your own things that you've come across in the Word or that you've come across in life, and God just lays it on your heart to share a message about it. And that is more where the message comes from this morning. Is more of maybe some recent experience than just feeling the need to cry out to God. You saw probably the title of the message in your bulletin. And this is the message I preached back home recently as well. Because, you know, there's a difference in some times in how we pray. And there's not anything necessarily wrong with one way or another. In other words, maybe you have prayer for a meal. Maybe you sit down and you say, well, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the rain you sent. Thank you for this food. Bless it to our bodies. Amen. That's nothing wrong with that. God wants to hear that. He wants to hear our thanksgiving. He wants to hear our praise, whatever. But the kind of what I'm thinking about crying out to God, I'm thinking more like like a child, for instance, is maybe out in the yard playing and they fall and they hurt themselves. And maybe it's not even anything drastic, but suddenly it's like, you know, you hear these practically blood curdling screams from mom or dad, you know, that they're going to die if you don't get a band-aid on it quickly kind of thing, you know. And sometimes as parents, we look at that and we're like, oh, just, it's not such a big deal. But you know, I'm thankful that we can cry out to God, and maybe to Him, sometimes it seems the same way. You know what? It's not near as big a deal as you think it is, but I'll help. And He does more than just put band-aids on our crying out. He is there to help us, and He is there to minister to us and to hear us when we cry out to Him. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. And I find this interesting. When I was just looking at this idea of crying out to God, I came across what I think is maybe the first instance where we see someone crying out to God. And what's interesting about it, the person is no longer living. It's in Genesis. And if you turn to chapter 4, I'd like to start at verse 8. And this, of course, is after Cain and Abel and their disgruntledness with, or at least Cain's, and he eventually murders his brother. And in verse 8 it says, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, and when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Interesting that the first time we hear of someone crying out to God, it's the voice of his blood from the ground crying out. And I think about the one thing I thought about this week with regard to that is, do you think, you know, we talk about our culture, we talk about our country, we see some of the things going on in Western culture and society. Could it be that the blood of thousands and thousands and thousands of aborted babies are crying out to God? Saying, God, what is going on? And you say, well, you know, if their little souls are there in heaven now. But turn with me to the book of Revelation. This is maybe not the last place, but it's one of the last places that we see the idea of crying out to God. In Revelation chapter 6, and I'll read verse 9 there to start with. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Even after death, there is a crying out to God by these people that were killed for their faith. God, how long? How long? And now, I don't believe that picture right there is in the final heaven after judgments and everything have been done and all the end of Revelation. This isn't the end of Revelation. What's interesting is, if you go down to verse 15, it says, And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall stand? I just find that interesting that the great men and the rich men and all these people, instead of crying out to God in repentance, they're saying to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and kill us. And I think today that's, we can be that same way. We can ask for help from things that can never help us and forget to go to God and ask Him for our help. Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 4, there with Cain and Abel, it's kind of interesting. If you drop down to verse 13, Cain, it doesn't say he cries out to God, but he does talk to God. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And sometimes we may feel that way. And God does help him in his request. God does say, Well, I'm going to put a sign upon you so that people don't slay you when they see you. And if you go a little further into this chapter, you'll see where, or into the book of Genesis, you'll see there where it mentions that if Cain is going to have this, then I'm in big trouble because I killed some people as well. And so God did protect him, and yet there is a thing of sowing and reaping. So I don't know this morning what you're going through. I don't know what it might be that you need to cry out to God for, or maybe are doing that right now and you're wondering, is God hearing? And I want to assure you this morning, He is hearing you this morning. He is. If you are crying out to Him in sincerity, He is hearing you. And it could be for different reasons. And I want to just take a look at some different scriptures this morning showing some different ways in which, or different reasons we might be crying out. Let's go to Numbers, first of all. And let's go to Numbers chapter 12. And I know someone personally right now that's maybe kind of going through a situation like this. Maybe you are or have, where we tend to cry out for someone else. And maybe it's a punishment or a judgment that they're receiving for something they've done. And it may be even something they've done to us. In Numbers chapter 12, what happens there is, Aaron and Miriam, they're upset because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And they're upset about that. Now, sometimes you hear people are upset about something. They're upset with a certain person or they're upset with whatever might be. And sometimes the reasons they give really isn't the real reason or root of it. Because they're upset at Moses because who he married, but then they say, well, see, the only person God can talk to is kind of what they, so I don't know what exactly was really going on in their hearts here, but they began to speak against Moses. Well, it's interesting, it says that God heard it, God's listening. God heard it. And so he calls a meeting. And Moses and Aaron and Miriam, they come to the meeting. And God shows up. And God has some things to say to them. And then he departs and leaves. And when he departs there from the tabernacle, we'll start in verse 10. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee. Now, it's interesting how his attitude toward Moses has seemed to change here. But he says, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of the mother's womb. And notice what happens here. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee, or I beg thee. He cried, Moses cried out to God in this for healing for her. And then it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. The people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Now, what's interesting there is that whole thing about the spitting in the face, if she had dishonored her father and so forth, that had to do with the disrespect and the punishments and so forth. But what I find interesting about this is Moses cried unto the Lord for her because she had sinned. She had done foolishly. And she had a punishment that was, to be suddenly leprous in those days was pretty much a death sentence. You were done. But Moses, now keep in mind, she had actually, in a sense, sinned against Moses. He could have said, well, that'll teach you for treating me like that. That'll teach you for talking about my wife. See how this works out. No. Moses cried out to God for help for her when she apparently couldn't do it. So this morning, you may be crying out to someone else that needs help because of their own actions and sins. And they could be in trouble. And maybe some of that could be toward you. Or maybe it's put a lot more burden on your life because this person's got, they did something and now they're in this situation. Are you willing to cry out to God? Or if you are crying out to God for that, keep in mind there is a sowing and reaping that takes place, and God still does have His justice, and He still does honor even our systems of justice here. But God can work in those situations, and God can help, and God can, especially when you see that there was, and often, I think often crying out to God is when we recognize or we certainly come to a point where we realize there's nothing we can do about the situation. Miriam and Aaron could do nothing to help her leprosy. And Moses really couldn't either outside of asking for God's help. And so he cries out to God, and God is merciful. And he does allow a short period of time there, a week, and her leprosy leaves. And it's gone. And so you may be crying out to God on behalf of someone who is in trouble, and you can cry out to God to help them. Let's turn back to Exodus. Have you ever felt like you're in a situation where you're afraid of people? And I'm not just talking about being asked to get up and maybe doing what I'm doing this morning or sharing a topic or whatever. I'm talking about you're actually afraid that somebody is going to do something to you, and somebody that you maybe know, and you're just like, Well, in Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 1, Exodus 17, starting at verse 1, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings according to the commandment of the Lord." Now notice, they are apparently going because of the commandment of the Lord. So supposedly they're following what the Lord's telling them to do and where to go. "And they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?'" This is about God and where He led us, not about me. "And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.'" And I think they were. They were ready to take this guy that led them out of Egypt. And they're out here in the wilderness, and now here they are. They've got their children, they've got their families, they've got their cattle and all this, and no water. And I don't think it wasn't a real cool climate. They needed water. And Moses is afraid they're going to stone him. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you actually thought people were going to stone you or not. That's not a real typical way things happen. I mean, we've seen some things, even in our country in recent years, where that could come back. I don't know, the way people react. But Moses actually thought these people were going to stone him. And what's his reply? What could he do? He's one man. He cried out to God. He cried out to God when he was afraid of the people around him, that they were going to harm him. You know what God did? He sent water. I don't know what God would have done. I mean, God had a plan for his people, certainly. But what if Moses would have said, "You know what? I'm sick of y'all. Just stone me. Get it over with. Let's go." I don't know what they'd have done. I guess they'd have probably traveled somewhere, tried to find water or something. But Moses cried out to God, because Moses couldn't dig a well for all these people. Moses cried out to God because of his fear and because he didn't know what to do, and God helped him. Another new Old Testament passage I'd like to look at is over in Deuteronomy chapter 26. And this is more about crying out when you maybe feel afflicted by something, oppressed. In this case, it was hard labor. And I don't know what, you know, being afflicted or oppressed could be from a physical thing. It could be an emotional thing. It could be a spiritual thing. It could be a sin that you're dealing with, that you just feel like you're not getting victory over. But in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 11, and this is after they're coming into the land here, and he's giving them some instructions of what they're supposed to do. "And it shall be," starting at verse 1, "and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go in unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, 'I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us.' And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, 'A Syrian ready to perish was my father, And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us. And now notice here's what they said. And afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers. Okay, he's reminding him of what happened there. He says, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our what? Our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of the Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with a terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And brought us unto this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which the Lord thy God hath given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and before the Lord and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, and thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. What I notice about this passage, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, it says in verse 7, they cried unto the Lord heard their voice, and he looked on their affliction, and their labor, and their oppression. If this morning you feel oppressed about something, or you feel afflicted by something, or something is just too hard, the bricks and the mortar and the building and all of that that they were doing, it's just too much. I can't take it. Have you thought about crying out to God and saying, God, I can't take, I feel this is what's going on in my life. God heard their cry and God looked upon each of those things that was going on in their lives. And what did he do? He delivered them. He got them out of there. It's quite a process, but he did it. He got them out of there. Now, going along with that, and it goes along with what Harold had mentioned that about praising God when sometimes we have, when we feel oppressed or have an attitude or whatever. In this right here, it says, it's interesting that the context here is about the offering of first fruits. When you come into the land, in other words, when God delivers you out of that situation that you're in, and you have been relieved of that and delivered, don't forget to praise and thank God for it. Too often, I think we do. We cry out to God, and we pray about something, and we pray. And God does something. And just like with the children of Israel leaving Egypt, it didn't happen overnight. It happened in one night, eventually, but it took a while to get there. It may not happen overnight for you. But when it does happen, and maybe it's over a period of time, and suddenly you look back and you're like, that's not bothering me anymore. I don't feel that anymore. Or that person is no longer oppressing me, or that situation, or that job, or whatever it is. Do we take the time then to say, thank you, God. Thank you. And offer the first fruits, if you will, of thankfulness to God. But crying out to God when we feel afflicted or when, and it, like I said, it could be an emotional thing. It could be a sin issue. It could be a lot of things that we would cry out for. One more here in the Old Testament. Let's go over to Joshua. And this has this very similar. It has to do with this as well. And Joshua is reminding them of some things. In Joshua 24, verses 1 through 8. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and their heads and for the judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord thy God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and then they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. And Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses unto it, and also Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I had did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought, and we could go on a reading there, but we'll stop right there. So here they were again. They actually got out of there, and they get to the sea, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, what do we do now? And here comes an army pursuing that they couldn't beat. There was no way. The army was coming to either take them back captive or wipe them out or something. I'm not sure what all they would have done, but it wasn't going to be pretty. And so they cried unto the Lord, and God fixed it. God took care of it. And there it was. And not only did he put darkness there, eventually he drowns the army and all this kind of stuff. I mean, God, it's amazing the times when they were up against it, they cried unto the Lord. And if you look through the book of Judges, for instance, there's a number of times when it says, and the sons of Israel cried unto the Lord. They got in a situation. The sons of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they cried out, and God was there to help them. So maybe your situation this morning feels a little bit like that. You can't go this way. You can't go that way. And there's something's coming, and you just feel like, here I am, and I don't know what's going to happen. Take the time to cry out to God. And what I'm talking, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but again, I'm not just saying, hey, God, I need some help. And I'm talking about a crying out. A little bit like if you would be working on a piece of equipment or something, I don't know, for you men or for you ladies, I'm not sure what could it be, but and you get caught in that equipment and you can't free yourself. There is no way to free yourself. And there you are. And if too much time goes, it's going to get even worse. What would you do? Would you say, hey, if somebody can hear me, I could use a little help over here. I don't think so. You would be shouting, hoping for someone to help you. Much different than a man in our area that I learned about recently. I don't know him personally. I know where he lives. He's so afraid somebody's going to steal from him or take from him or something. And I guess he was along his property there. He fell off his bike. Something happened and he couldn't help himself, couldn't get up. And he laid there. I don't know how long it was. I think maybe several days. I don't know. He laid there a long time. And when people would go by, and it's in an area where there's a lot of older Mennonite stuff riding their bikes and maybe in their buggies, he could have cried out. He was afraid to, because he was afraid whoever might help him would rob him. So he just kept quiet and laid there, suffering. I wonder sometimes, is that kind of how we are? We're suffering, we're laying there, we just keep on laying there, and we don't cry out. We don't want to do that. Maybe you think, well, this isn't a big enough thing to bother God with. No. No, that's not God. God wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's going on. Turn to the New Testament now. I have just a couple of examples here in the New Testament I'd like to look at. And very familiar ones. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we have the story there about blind Bartimaeus. And we'll start reading in verse 46. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out And I don't think blind Bartimaeus was being, obviously he was really making a racket because it got people concerned. And it says he cried out and said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him, or told him, scolded him, is what that word really means, that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." So, this situation here, it could be that it's healing. He needed physical healing in his life. And maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's what you want, is physical healing. So sometimes we cry out to God when we have a physical need. Maybe it's a physical financial need. Maybe it's some other physical need. I'm not sure what it could be in your life. Or maybe it's a spiritual thing, whatever it could be that you're crying out to God, "Have mercy on me." But in this case, it was a physical need that he had. And I find it interesting that here is this man who is blind. He can't see. He's begging for a living to try to make enough to probably just buy food, stay alive. And so he's crying out to Jesus. Now, this group of people that's following Jesus have seen Jesus heal people. And so wouldn't you think they'd have said, "Hey, you know what, Bartimaeus? I'm glad you cried out. Yes, I'm sure Jesus, hey, let's get you guys together." Instead, they're like, "Shh, you're making too much racket." And I think sometimes that can happen in our own lives, that maybe there's some need that we really think we need Jesus, and we're wanting to cry out, and people are telling us it's not that big a deal. Or just don't make such a big issue about it. Or do you have to bring that up again? You're still struggling with that? People were trying to keep him from actually crying out to God for help. Well, Jesus heard him. Why? Because he was being quiet over on the... Now, Jesus knew he was there anyway. We know that. And Jesus knows what he needs. We're going to see that too, but He was crying out. It says he cried out for Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 49, Jesus stood still. There is no crowd following Jesus so big that if you cry out to him, that he can't stand still and hear what you had to say. He says here, and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth you." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And then Jesus asked this question that, you know, we often wonder, seriously? He says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Okay, so the man is blind. He's begging for a living. He's crying out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And Jesus knows what he needs and what he wants. And yet Jesus says, "What would you like for me to do for you?" Sometimes maybe you have the idea that, well, God knows my situation. Why should I tell him? Why should I go to him? Why should I beg him to help me in this situation? He knows what it is. He's all powerful. If he wants it taken care of, he can do it. Do you think that Jesus would have healed Bartimaeus if two things wouldn't have happened? If he wouldn't have cried out and gotten Jesus' attention, and if he would have said, "Oh, I don't know, really. Wait, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? I guess whatever you think I need." I think Jesus would have said, "You need to tell me what your need is. You tell me why you're crying out to me. Tell me what you need, and I'll heal you." And you know what? Bartimaeus wasn't bashful. He says, "Well, I want to receive my sight. I want to be able to see." That's what he says. He said, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I would say, be persistent in your crying out to God. Be persistent. And if others try to get in the way of you crying out to God, cry out to Jesus wants to hear you. Tell him what your needs are, even if they are quite obvious. Tell him what your needs are. And we're going to come back to this thing about faith in a little bit. But notice it says, Jesus told him it's thy faith. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't crying out because he thought, just maybe this guy might be. He had heard. And he knew that Jesus could heal him. And he wasn't afraid to cry out, even if it meant disturbing other people around him. Now you say, well, I've cried out. And it doesn't appear that Jesus is doing anything about it. Well, I believe that God, I know God often heals and does for physical needs. I've seen it. I've seen it. He heals people. Sometimes, as in Paul's case, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we don't know exactly what this issue was in Paul's life. There have been a lot of different ideas, but Paul never says for sure. But Paul talks about all the things that had happened to him and how blessed he was. And then we get down to verse 7 and he said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, that was given to me, the thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought. It doesn't say he cried out, but the word is very similar there. He besought the Lord three times specifically. And Paul often talked about his prayers and his fastings. And I have a feeling when he besought the Lord the first time, maybe it was at one level. And then maybe it was another and another. And I just have a feeling that it was with prayer and fasting. He besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Sometimes we don't always get the answer we want when we cry out to God. I have to be honest about that this morning. Sometimes he says, no, I'm not going to take that away. Maybe it could be a different situations. But the one thing I do know is, like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through. And God still wants to hear us crying out to him. Because he says, my grace is sufficient. You may never feel that grace for your situation if you're not willing to cry out to God in honesty and faith and humility, crying out to him. He wants to hear us. Even if he doesn't always give us the exact answer we want, but he will give us the grace for whatever he allows us to go through. And sometimes that's hard to feel that. But we don't go on feelings. We do go on faith, even though we have feelings. And I'm thankful that in Hebrews chapter 4, you don't have to turn to that, but it says there, and it kind of uses that double negative in the King James, but basically I'll flip it around, that it says, we have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Because it says he went through the same things. He went through things like we did. And we're going to look at that in just a moment here. He went through things just like we have and we do. And therefore, he not only does it say he's touched by our infirmities, he says he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So how you feel about the situation you're in touches him. And when someone is touched, I'm not just thinking about, oh yeah, that sounds good, whatever. I'm talking about, you know, when it's just kind of gets in there, you can kind of feel it. You know, maybe it's at a funeral and somebody gets up and reads a poem about the person. You get touched. You know what I mean? Jesus is touched by how we feel about our infirmities and weaknesses. It says, therefore, we can go boldly to the throne of grace and ask for help in time of need. That's the Jesus that we serve. And because of that, I'd like for us to look at a couple of passages regarding Jesus directly. And if we go to Matthew chapter 27 to start with, and this ties into that passage in Hebrews, and we're going to look at another passage in Hebrews, but in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, where it says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus cried with a loud voice. A loud voice. He cried out to God, his Father. And we say, wait a minute, wasn't he God? Yes, he was the God-man. Fully God, fully man. We can't understand that fully, but he prayed to his Father. And he talked with his Father. And he trusted his Father. And he cried out to his Father. And he had cried out to his Father in the Mount of Olives, too. Or the Garden of Gethsemane, which is there. But he cried out in the garden, if this cup could just pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will, not mine. Do we cry out to God with that kind of an attitude? God, what is your will? But can this pass from me? And he gets to this point and he cries out. And I know there are a lot of explanations for this verse. The Bible actually never tells us fully what was going on here. We can put together this and that. I do know if you go to Psalm 22 and you look at that psalm, it's probably the most prophetic psalm of the crucifixion. What was happening right here? Any of those scribes or Pharisees or Jewish leaders, when he cried that out, probably were reminded of that psalm, because that's how it starts out. And we're like, wait a minute, this looks a lot like that psalm. I don't know if they thought that or not. But whatever he was going through here, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'd like then to go to Hebrews and look at some connecting verses with this. In Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 7. Speaking of Jesus here, and it ties in with what I was just sharing from chapter 4, end of chapter 4. Speaking of Jesus, says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. His Father could have saved him from death. And was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Cried with strong crying and tears. Do you think that's why we have a high priest that can understand when we cry to him? That passage there in Matthew, recently I was visiting with a retired minister. And I'm not even sure what church he would have been in the ministry in at that time, but now lives in another area with his family. And he's got some health issues, and he had health issues for a long time. And I appreciate his testimony. He's a good encourager, and I wouldn't have realized maybe he had struggled with this. But in his health issues, he said he came to a point where he was beginning to wonder, is there even a God? What is going on? Like, he was at his kind of his wits end, crying out to God. He was struggling. And I believe he was at an SMBI Minister's Week or something like that. And he said that that's how he was feeling. And he didn't even know if he wanted to get up that day and go to breakfast. But he did. He got up. He went down. And then he went to the chapel, little chapel service they had before the day started. And whoever had the devotions that morning shared from that passage about, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, you know, Jesus went through that, so he knows when we feel forsaken. And he said, this minister said it just totally changed. Suddenly he realized that he's serving a Jesus that went through the same feelings that he was having right then. Where are you, God? Where are you? And yet Jesus went through that for us. Well, turn to the Psalms for a few passages. One of the things that I'd like for us to think about is when we cry out to God is in Psalm chapter 9. And the Psalms, by the way, I'm sure you've thought about this already this morning. The Psalms are full of, I cried unto the Lord, or I prayed, I cried. And God heard my prayer. He heard my supplications. He heard me. But in Psalm chapter 9, verse 12, it says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them and forgetteth not the cry of the humble. If you're crying out to God in pride and arrogancy, don't expect much. It takes humility. And that humility comes when we recognize, God, I can't do anything about this situation. I can't take care of this in my life. I can't do this. I need you. That's humility. We recognize we are here. God is there, but yet he cares and he wants to help us. Now, that doesn't mean he's just going to fix it and there's nothing we do on our part. He may point out that, hey, you know what? There's some things in my word that you could be doing about this. You need to get busy and do them. But yet, we need to go in humility and asking. And chapter 10, verse 17, is similar, says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thy ear to hear. So it takes humility. And I mentioned earlier that it takes faith. If you have no faith that God is going to hear, or God can deal with your situation, or God will deal with your situation, or God will help, you don't believe that, he's probably not going to. Blind Bartimaeus, he believed that God could heal him. I believe Paul did too. And he found grace even in his need. I believe Moses trusted God. He had faith. God, I need thee. I need thee right now. I need your help. And then I would say, as we cry out to God, don't forget to get in his word and cry out to God in his word too. Because his word has so much for us in our times of need. But just be willing to cry out to God. So I don't know what you're crying out for this morning. Maybe it's an emotional need. It could be a temptation you're going through, something that plagues you. It could be a health situation. It could be for someone else, their needs or what they're going through. Maybe it's for the nation, for the church, for whatever it might be. Be willing to cry out to God. Psalm 130 starts out like this. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word I hope. And he continues on like that. And then in Psalm 50, 14 and 15, it says this. And this goes along with what I was saying about being thankful when God answers. or maybe even when he hasn't. Be thankful. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving. So we have offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. God wants to hear from us. And so this morning, like I said, I don't know what you're going through. But I do know that there's a God who cares and a God who wants to hear from us. And I trust that you will cry out to him in your times of need because he wants to hear. Let's stand for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Lord bless you, and thank you for your kind attention this morning. Lord bless you as you continue on serving him as brothers and sisters and as a brotherhood here. You're dismissed.